Because if we are always focused on this is what I deserve, our peace is lost. And you know, life's not fair.
Welcome back, everybody. Today is Friday of the third week of Lent, and we are on Meditation 117 of Divine Intimacy.
So we continue on sharing with you what stood out to us and why from Divine Intimacy, written by Father Gabriel. Today we continue on talking about true glory.
St. Teresa of Jesus declares, "However slight may be our concern for our reputation, if we wish to make progress in spiritual matters, we must put this attachment right behind us. For if questions of honor prevail, we will never make great progress or come to enjoy the real fruit of prayer, which is intimacy with God."
A couple of things came to my mind when thinking about this quotation. One is that when other people attack my opinion, how do I respond? Or if they attack our ministry, which is a very public ministry, how do I respond? Do I let those attacks steal my peace? And do I tell myself I deserve better? Well, I deserve what I deserve, whatever God allows. Jesus was crucified. And so to the degree that I allow myself to be troubled and my peace lost, I have to recognize that I am attached to the love of my own glory and honor. That's just the truth. We need to detach from that. And the other thought was regards to when Jesus said, "The thief comes to seek, steal, and destroy." When I feel disturbed, when I do not get the honor or thanksgiving that I deserve, the question I ask myself is, then am I participating in the thief's work by trying to attribute honor to myself that rightly belongs to God? When we speak about glorifying God, there's two types of glory. There's his intrinsic glory and his extrinsic glory. His intrinsic glory is the glory that he has in and of himself. It's for himself. It's by himself. God by himself in the unity of who he is infinitely glorious. So it's independent of us. The extrinsic glory is the glory that we, his creatures, can show forth in this world. We can also detract from the glory of God in this world by living the way or rejecting the way that God has asked us to live. And so when I demand in my pride an honor or thanksgiving, and maybe it's just internal, it doesn't manifest itself, then I think what I'm doing, again, is stealing from God what is his. Say, "God, you deserve the glory and honor for anything that good, that anything that's good that has happened in my life. One thing I do not want to do is do the thief's work. I want to do God's work. I want to glorify and honor him." So this was a good passage for me.
To find out if we are really detached from sensitiveness about honor, we should not rely on the desires which sometimes come to us during prayer and make us think that we are ready to bear any kind of humiliation or scorn. Instead, we must find out what our attitude is at the critical moment when something wounds our pride. Then it will be easy to see that we refuse to be thwarted over the very smallest matter of precedence. Apparently, such a thing is quite intolerable. It's interesting because I think when you're in a moment of consolation, you think you can do anything, right? It's like, with God's grace, I can do anything. Yeah. Everything is possible with God. Yeah. But then when you're being tried, you're just like, wow, that was not a very virtuous way of responding.
Or we don't have a lot of strength sometimes. We have all the strength we need when we're feeling consoled in a time of wonderful prayer, right? Mm-hmm. But then we can do anything, right, for God. But then we step into McDonald's and we can barely say, do the sign of the cross when we say grace. Like, the strength is lacking in McDonald's, but boy, is it ever strong when you have a consolation in prayer. And I think the point of the quote is, pay attention to those times when you're not in consolation. How do you respond? Mm-hmm. When you're not, when you're being humiliated, mm-hmm. how do you respond? That, I think, is an indication of how attached we are to our honor.
And I think, too, like, when we're by ourselves, sometimes we have less strength, but like, how do we respond? Do we respond for God or not for God? Because I think sometimes when we're found in a group of people, we do end up having more strength, like if we're with like-minded people.
Right.
Preoccupation with the defense of our rights continually distracts us from our ideal of union with God, deprives us of interior peace, and finally involves us in so many worldly cares that it will often be an occasion of failing in charity and even in justice towards our neighbor. For it is very difficult, if not impossible, to keep up the defense of our own rights without more or less injuring the rights of others. Okay, so it just reminded me of a few things. Number one, I thought right away of our children, where it's like, sometimes I have to tell them, I'm like, which one of you is going to yield? Who's going to yield to the will of the other? Like, someone's going to have to give here because both of them want their way. But in life, we know that we can't always get our way, and nor should we always get our way. Like, that's not the way of God. Jesus came and said, we must be the servant of the other. And I think often even like in my young adult life or just, you know, there's different people that you meet along the way and you just realize, you know what? This person's just not going to let me, you know, convince them of anything. They've already got their mind made up about something. And you just have to say, okay, you just kind of got to yield and let them have their way. And you know what? I remember there was the first few times I did that, it was really hard for me to like bite my tongue and just be like, okay, whatever. But you know what? The more you do it, the easier it gets. And you're just like, yeah, it's not a big deal. I don't have to have my way all the time. And, you know, and there's actually something really beautiful. And like, I know Father Gabriel talks about this and the saints often say it, the more and more we practice a virtuous life, the more joy we get from it.
Yeah. I can understand how someone could hear this passage and really struggle with it because we value our rights so much, depending on what kind of right you're talking about, mm-hmm. like the constitutional rights and the rights that God gives us just by natural laws.
But you think of God himself. Who had the most right of everybody? He did. And yet he allowed himself to be crucified by his own creatures.
Yeah, that's a pretty important lesson, that's for sure. Because the preoccupation of defending rights can really distract us. Now, there is a time and place, mm-hmm. I have to say, because there's great injustice in society. And if we, who know the fullness of the truth, sit back and do nothing, mm-hmm. well, then society will really fall apart. Like, so there's a place. But I think the is not to be attached to that right, but to defend it for the sake of the glory of God. And I think there you have the distinction. Mm-hmm. Right. Because if we are always focused on this is what I deserve, our peace is lost. And you know, life's not fair. It's just not fair. You've probably figured it out. It's just not fair. It's not fair in our home. And we try and be good parents. But I just realized as a parent, I can't be always fair. It just doesn't work out all the time. And I wish it could, but I know that it just doesn't. Now, if I, who consider myself, I love my kids, can't even be fair with them all the time, what do you think is going to happen in the world when people really don't care about you that much? When the government is really not that much of your friend, you're going to have injustice. And so I think... Yeah, I think your point of looking to what happened to Jesus is a great one. Fixing our eyes on the crucified Christ when we experience our rights being trampled, we will find strength. I don't think I have anything else to say. Do you?
No. One thing that we've been forgetting to mention is that we said in the beginning that we really wanted people to be praying a daily rosary. So if you have been doing that, that's wonderful. If you haven't, it's still not too late to get started. And there's many ways, like if you're not in the habit of already praying, you know, with your rosary beads in your hand, you can always listen to an audio recording or you can find a friend to pray it with. But I would just really encourage you to get started.
I'm glad I got a friend to pray my rosary with.
Yeah, and seven little people.
We say a rosary in the evening as a family. Hey, thanks for watching. Share with us below what stood out to you and why. And it's Friday, so we're going to take the weekend off. Our next video will be Monday. God bless you.